Hello, and welcome to Living Vertical Radio, where we change the narrative of media by introducing you to creative and innovative individuals that inspire you with their unique stories. Our host is Cystine Duckworth, and you can call in or Skype into this program by calling 1-646-668-2928 #1. Please make sure your surrounding area is quiet because this is a live program. One Sure Sign Mobile Notary of Frisco, Texas provides professional notary service across the Dallas metro area. Our notary professionals are ready to help you with loan closings, power of attorney, fingerprinting, and other notary services. We meet you at your location of choice, your home, office, hospital, or local coffee shop, convenient to your schedule. Reliable, professional, and affordable. One Sure Sign is happy to support Living Vertical Radio here in Texas. Mention you heard this ad on Living Vertical for $5 off any notary service. Interested in advertising on our podcast with a listening audience of over 800,000? You can do a 15-second business ad, a 30-second radio ad, or a 10-minute interview radio ad. Our prices start out at $50. Contact us at info@verticalmediagroup.com. Our pricing is made to give everyone the ability to advertising no matter the budget. Thank you. And here's your host, Cystine Duckworth.
Hi, everyone. Early evening here. And I hope everyone is doing well. Thank you, Serena. And thank you to our faithful audience who are part of Taste of Ink Live, which is part of the Living Vertical Radio family. Today, our guest will be Harrison Taylor. But before we get to Harrison, I'd like to acknowledge our sponsors for Vertical Alliance with International and Black Chaptaw Enterprises. Now, just so you guys know, I want to remind you that Creative Ventures will be doing a writer's retreat on the lovely island of Ireland. Our facilitator will be North Carolina's Poet Laureate, Jackie Shelton Green, and we will be in Tullamore, which is a sister city of Chandler, Arizona, not far from me here in Phoenix. And it's going to be actually really fun, everyone. So just so you know, we only have a few seats left. The trip costs $24.99 and must be paid in full by April 30th. A $500 deposit is due now, and the price includes 9 days of accommodations at the Tullamore Court Hotel, the workshop, and 2 day trips. It does not include your airfare, so it's time for us to refresh our muse. What better place than in Ireland? So I'd like to welcome our guest today. Our guest is Harrison Taylor, and he has a great book that, I hope you guys go out there and get, because when I was reading it, I couldn't put it down. So from fan to novelist, medical professional, Harrison Taylor. We really have some questions for Harrison today. Growing up watching Westerns and James Bond with his dad and reading comics under the covers by flashlight with his brother, Harrison developed a love for stories, and his education and professional path led him toward medicine. However, once he realized he wasn't just a fan of stories, but that deep passion inside meant he must write stories. He infused his real-life experiences working with patients and World War II veterans into his writing and became an author. His debut novel is Those Who Hunt Wolves. And so I'd like to welcome Harrison Taylor to A Taste of Ink Live. Hi, Harrison, how are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, for real. I was reading the book and really I couldn't put it down. It's well, very well written. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So, I wanted to ask you, starting as a doctor, so what kind of doctor are you? Just a regular MD, or what type of doctor are you? Any specialty?
I'm a neurologist.
Ah, my favorite. Okay. And how did, you know, so now I'm like, wow, you really must have this imagination for sure to write. Most definitely.
Absolutely.
So what sparked the journey to writing Those Who Hunt Wolves? It was and I'll be honest, I'm not really, now I'm a James Bond fan for real. For real. So reading your book, I'm not, only time I read something that's espionage or thriller, someone introduces a book to me. So being introduced to your book, and I was like, okay, but this, it had a lot more elements that I like, okay? So what really sparked you writing this book?
So this book has been in the making for a while now. When I was in college and shortly after finishing college, I was writing scripts and screenplays basically for, you know, guys who had a camcorder and wanted to shoot something. And one of my friends came to me to write a script about a heist gone wrong. And, you know, when I wrote the script, you know, I was really proud of it. And I presented it to my buddy, and he was like, it's a great script, but we can't use it because everything that you put in there, we don't have the budget for. And that was very frustrating for me. So, you know, I looked at the script and I said, well, you know, there is no budget or boundaries for imagination. And that kind of inspired me to turn it into a novel. So when I finished up with medical school and finished up my training to be a neurologist, I started writing it.
Oh, okay, great. And so what were the challenges that you had writing the book?
Yeah, so, you know, there's different elements to the book. The drama I was cool with, the action I was cool with, the political part, not so much. Being a biology, chemistry major and being a physician, you don't really see that stuff, you know. So I had to do some research to make it seem real. And that was actually challenging to meld the two together to make it real but entertaining.
I would imagine that would be. So when you're doing your research, so where did you do your research, or did you have any particular, you know, library that you went to get that research?
So I have a couple of buddies of mine who they actually were state senators, and I was able to ask them, okay, how does this whole thing called politics work beyond just CNN? And so, you know, they helped me out. And then also, of course, I had to make some trips to the library to figure some things out. Internet, of course. You know, the dangerous thing about the internet is it's not always accurate. So, you know, it's not always
safe to
Google information. I remember with the first draft, I actually wrote a lot of things that were incorrect about our government just by Googling. And a buddy of mine was like, no, this is all wrong.
Right. Well, you're right about that, because we have, you know, when I was doing some, when I first went to college, it was interesting. That was something I learned kind of the hard way. When I tested into college, and I'm an avid reader since, you know, 6 years old. And when I tested, so when they did the test, they were like, well, you know, you need to take a reading class. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I don't need to take a reading class. And they were like, no, it's not what you think. And I'm like, okay. And it was interesting, because when I went into that class, I learned all the different techniques to research. And I learned
right.
all the different guides to, you know, what to do when you're taking, you know, my career started in medical anthropology. So what type of dictionaries
cool.
to use? Yeah, and I was kind of like, well, you know, medical anthropology, why, you know, but then when I started actually doing the research and getting the different, you know, dictionaries when I took biology and all
mm-hmm.
that, then I realized, okay, I understood what they were, you know, what it was about. And it was more a college prep class to really get
mm-hmm.
you ready for, you know, the research you had to do in college. But you're right on the internet because there's so much on there. When you're doing research, you almost have to just research the research and then research the research to make sure
exactly.
you're getting it right.
Absolutely.
Very true.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So did you have any support when you were writing the book? Because I know that's a question I ask a lot of writers, you know, what kind of support they had. Cause it can be very difficult if you don't have support. Or if you do, or a person, you know, if you have a spouse or whatnot, may not understand those times when you're just sitting there writing and everything else just becomes a blur.
Yeah, so I'm very fortunate, very blessed to have a family that really supported me through this process. And
mm-hmm.
it's so funny because I put, you know, a lot of people, when they say they want to become writers, when they want to become artists, they're not getting that support from their family. And, you know, I, for the longest time, told myself, you know, I'm supposed to be a doctor, I'm supposed to be a physician, and, you know, I don't need to be an artist, when I was essentially lying to myself. And I never really gave my family the opportunity to say, hey, we support you. We believe in you as a writer, and this is something that you should do. So when I did come out, I was kind of pretty much keeping it a secret. But then, you know, when I when they realized that I was doing this, my wife supported me, my family has supported me, and, you know, been very fortunate from that end.
Mm-hmm. No, and that's great. That's great. So, I mean, you know, being a doctor and then writing this novel, I mean, did you ever think about, okay, this is where I really need to be as a writer, or were you torn between that and being a doctor?
There are many times when I have sat down and I am frustrated because I'm trying to figure out a diagnosis for a patient, that I say, man,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't it be great to write? And then there's the vice versa where I'm sitting here, I'm looking at a blank page like, you know, I'm going to go see what's going on with this patient here because these patients are not writing themselves like they're supposed to. And so, you know, what ends up happening is that it's one of those things where I have basically said, you know, we need both in our life to be happy. And it's
okay.
weird, but once you find that happy medium, it's very fulfilling.
Uh-huh. Okay. And so, you know, when you're writing, how much of that is real experience as a doctor, or do you just allow yourself to, you know, be as creative as you want to in your writing? Because I know that neurologist, I'm like, what am I? There must be some really good stories there waiting for you to write. So
absolutely.
Do you ever think when you're writing a book, well, when you wrote this one, did you ever think, maybe I'm not going to put that in there, or yeah, let's change this a little bit? Or did you just really, you know, write from the authentic part of it?
Yeah. So when I write, I pull from pure creativity and imagination. There's a lot of science in this book. So I made sure that the science in the book was sound. And of course the political science was sound, but you know, I don't put any type of restraints on my creativity. So, you know, this book turned out the way it turned out. Perhaps the next book I may put some neurology in it. It all depends on where my creativity, my imagination takes me.
Mm-hmm. And how difficult was it for you to create your characters now? I mean, especially your main character, did you use maybe any experiences with people you knew, or did you totally just allow that your creativity to create that character?
That character came from scratch. Like, literally, I can't think of a patient or a person I've come across that was the inception of that character. That character was pure imagination. They say that mm-hmm. writers talk to their characters. Me and Shepard definitely had a couple of conversations.
Uh-huh. Okay, yeah. I always find that interesting. I, when I ask that question, I know that some writers would say, you know, I actually just fought this book the whole way through, or, you know, from just totally taking over, you know. And I know some that say, you know what, I just let the book take over and let the book write itself. So it's always interesting when those that you know, say that I just let my creative, you know, part just flow. I didn't stop it, which I will say that this book really is a very, and I don't like to say easy read, but I'll say that for you to have such a mixture of politics and science in it, it doesn't read, it's not a hard read. It actually really flows. And actually really keeps you reading the book, because one of the things I do remember in talking to some creative teachers, they would say, you know, when you're writing something that's very science, that has a lot of science in it, or has a lot of science fiction, you don't have to be too technical. So how did you keep yourself from being too technical? It's a good read. It's almost like watching a movie. Which is, you know, in the movie, you see what they're talking about. But in your book, it wasn't too difficult to read through it.
Well, thank you for that. Thank you for that. And I love when folks say it's an easy read. That's exactly what I want. You know, not putting any, you know, shade on authors that like to be super descriptive and like to, you know, really give really detailed information about things. I think that's a great style of writing too. I just feel that for me and for the books that I enjoy, I try to write the way I enjoy to read. And I like for folks to, when they read my book, actually see a movie in their heads. But to answer your question about the science aspect, what I tried to do is tell myself, okay, if you're going to make a point, if you're going to have something that's very scientific, if you're going to talk about something regarding chemistry or, you know, whatever, make sure that it's visual and that it's descriptive so that the reader, they can see it in their head, you know, because if you write an equation, if you write a story about an equation, no one can really see that, you know, but if you write a story about, you know, someone having an artificial lung, yes, that's science. You can see that, you can describe it, and it makes it easier for the reader to see it and understand it.
Okay. So, like, as a doctor, your experiences with working with veterans, there must have been a lot of stories that you've been told as a doctor. So did you have anything that really stood out to you that just kind of still stands out to you?
So in this particular story, because there's so much espionage in it, not in this particular story, I actually wrote a book before this that there is a story that comes directly from me sitting at bedside with one of the vets, and it's absolutely fascinating. But for this particular story, not really.
Okay. What? How do you keep yourself? Because you know, being a doctor, and then on the other side, being a writer, what do you do to keep yourself, your mind mentally stimulated outside of that? So you can, because one of the things we always say when people are starting to write, we say, you know, just read everything. which is really true. you know, I talked to a lot of young people, and I said, you know, best thing you can do as a writer is read everything. Read, you know, even things that magazines or whatever. But you have to have something there to even spark your imagination to write different stories. So for you, what is it that you do when you just want to, you know, you get away from being the doctor and get away from being the writer and just, you know, breathe and relax?
Right. So I'm a big fan of movies, and I'm a big fan of traveling. I love watching movies. You know, this whole Oscar season, me and my sister have been sitting down watching all the Oscar movies, and we're watching all the, you know, high recommended movies that did not make the Oscars. And, you know, that's always a stimulant for my brain to just start thinking about ideas. I love to travel. Me and my wife, we actually was able to go to New Orleans and listen to the jazz festival. And, you know, that in itself is a huge stimulant for me when it comes to coming up with new ideas, traveling. And then also I love music. So I think out of the three, traveling, movies, music is definitely my muse when it comes to coming up with new ideas for stories.
I tell you, I love to travel too, and I love to find the off the beaten path places to go to. I haven't been to New Orleans yet, but I was visiting down in Texas, down in Dallas with my daughter, and she took me to this really nice little place. It's a little place that does little 1 hour, music things. And so this particular time we went, they were playing Gershwin and Billie Holiday, and it was amazing. It's a candlelight setting.
Oh, wow.
And it was really, it was amazing. Yeah, it was really amazing. I really loved it. So, yeah, I'm trying to get myself ready to go to New Orleans because I'm like, I haven't been there. I want to go there. I've been a lot of places, but New Orleans is on our list when it's not real hot.
Right, definitely. Definitely go in the springtime or the winter,
Right. So what type of projects do you have coming up when it comes to writing? Are you writing something new? Are you writing maybe a sequel to this book, Those Who Hunt Wolves?
Yeah, so as of right now, I'm writing a book, a new book. It's not associated with Those Who Hunt Wolves. It's essentially about heroes and supervillains, but it's from the perspective of the supervillain's henchmen. So basically the guy who Batman beats up. It's from his perspective.
Okay. Right. Okay. That should be interesting. That should be really interesting. So I always ask authors, what advice would you give to a young author coming up that's just getting into writing?
I would definitely say keep your mind open as possible. Always look out for any type of inspiration. Inspiration can come from anywhere, from something you hear while you're shopping to the graffiti on a wall. Always keep your eyes open for inspiration, because inspiration is where the magic happens when it comes to writing.
And how exciting was it for you to really get this book done, to actually see the cover, to actually know it's published? How exciting was that journey?
I can't even put it into words. I'm still shocked. I look at the cover and I'm just like, did this really happen? And you know, I'm so happy, and you know, I'm kind of chasing the dragon, so to speak, because I'm like, okay, let's write another one so we can have this feeling all over again.
Well, it's an amazing cover. It really is. That's another thing that
Thank
we,
you.
You know, we talk about where different authors had their covers done and what was the, you know, how, you know, what was the inspiration. That cover really got me when I saw it. I was like, this is a cover that makes you stop at the bookstore and pick it up and look inside of it. It
well,
really does.
You.
And I, you know, and I always say that when authors are, you know, doing their books and stuff, I work with a lot of authors and they'll show me their book covers and I'm like, yeah, okay, so what is the inspiration behind the book cover? And actually that is how you have to think about it. What is going to draw people to your book? So, congratulate you on a wonderful cover. So who did your cover? How did you go about getting the cover done?
So it was a company in South Africa called DeMonza, pretty well-known company. And, you know, the thought process behind the cover is essentially the wolves that are in the book. And the characters who are trying to hunt them. It was a very simple approach that they used. And then when they showed me the cover and the concept behind the cover, I was like, this is a winner.
Right. Yeah. And how was the editing process for you?
So I edited myself several times. I don't even know how many times I read the book. It was a pretty countless amount. And then, of course, we had the copyright editor look it over, four proofreaders, and then beta readers, of course, reading it. By the time it got to beta reading, it was pretty positive results. So pretty confident at that time that, you know, we had a finished product. I think for me the hardest part was the actual proofreading process, because I mean you always find something, you always find a typo, you always find comma splice, and that can be really really frustrating and arduous. But you know, we got some really good proofreaders and got it done, thankfully.
Yeah, I was gonna say when you said you had did a lot of editing, I was like, you're brave, because. Editing, just to do your own editing, you're really brave there. Some of the things, you know, I want to ask you. So, did you do any other writing when you were writing this book? Did you? Was there times that you had to get away from the book and you just did writing? I know that. You know, and one author I talked to broke me from saying this, but I used to ask people, so did you have writer's block at any time? And I was interviewing this writer, and they said, there's no such thing as writer's block. And I'm like, okay, well, that just blew my whole excuse for things that I don't do. and every time I think about that, I think about what they said. But, you know, I know that one of the things they said is that, you know, when you can't write in the book that you're writing, you just write something else. You write, there's always something to write. So is that true for you?
I only focused on this book. I can only do essentially one project at a time for myself. I know some people, they can multitask when it comes to writing. I can read like that. I'm actually reading like three or four books right now in rotation. But when it comes to writing, that's what I'm focused on. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And
I do
agree with that statement.
Yeah. There's no such thing as writer's block.
Yeah, I do agree with that statement. Absolutely. I don't agree with that writer's block. I think what happens is with us in general, when we sit down and write, we just sometimes have harder times to write than others, and you just got to get through the night. But I agree with that.
Okay. So are you looking forward? I don't know. Have you done any? You know, I know we're coming out of COVID, but have you done any book signings, or are you looking forward to doing some?
Have not done any book signings. I would love to do some. Due to unforeseen circumstances, I may not be able to attend one book signing out in L.A. With the L.A. Mm-hmm. Book Festival, which I really wanted to go to, but I can't. But, you know, hopefully there will be other opportunities, and I'm optimistic that there will be other opportunities.
Well, I'm sure there will be with this book here. When you publish this, or when your publishing house published this, did you have any other ideas, like maybe a movie for this book?
So, you know, I'm
putting it out there.
My inspiration, right. I got to tell you, my inspiration for writing and reading comes initially from watching movies. And so the concept of this book, the whole concept is, when you sit down and you read it, it feels like a movie. So, you know,
yeah.
If someone down the road approaches me and they would love to turn into a movie, I'd be more than honored and excited for that to happen.
I know your family is just as excited about you getting this book published as well. So not only do they
Absolutely.
Have a neurologist in the family, they have a published author.
absolutely very excited. And, you know, my family's reading it and they're enjoying it, so
great. Well, Harrison, thank you for being on our program today. For those of who are listening, we have been talking to Harrison Taylor. His book is called Those Who Hunt Wolves. It's really an action-packed thriller, everyone. I know you're going to like this from beginning to end, because when I started it, I actually just kept reading. I didn't stop. So it's really, you know, it's really that good. So you should really get this book. And for those of you who listen to me all the time, you know that I have 2 free books to give away. So you know what to do. You got to email me. First 2 people that email me, we'll get a copy of this, of Harrison Taylor's book. Harrison, again, thank you for being with us today. It's been really a pleasure, and I look forward to reading or hearing more about any books from you. You're always invited to come to Vertical to tell my audience about what's going on.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you. Take care.
Thank you to our faithful listeners. This has been Living Vertical Radio, and you have been listening to our host, Cestine Duckworth. Stay tuned to our next program. Interested in getting your business in front of a worldwide audience? Contact info@verticalmediagroup.com. That's info@verticalwithak.mediagroup.com for details. And now, a word from our sponsors.
Books that make you laugh. Books that make you scream. Books that make you hope. And books that make you dream. What's on your bookshelf? Discover the books that make you who you are on booksthatmakeyou.com. Read book reviews. Meet the authors who pour their souls into the books you love. And enter to win bookish prizes. If you're a bibliophile, then Books That Make You is your new best friend. Visit booksthatmakeyou.com or find us on Insta and Facebook.